Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today I ask you for your strength in our hearts. God, that you would be with us, lead us, guide us in all that life brings our way, the adversity that we face, things that we go through, God. It is meant for your glory when we truly learn to trust you. And I ask you for strength today. I pray your word go forth, and I pray that it would pierce our hearts and create in us the person you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about accepting adversity. Boy, that's something we don't ever want to do, right? We never know what kind of adversity is coming our way, but when adversity comes, how do we handle that? I've said this to us many times, and it rings so true. Your adversity don't define you. What you trust in, who you believe in. We often hear this said, we got to trust in something bigger than ourselves. The only one we can trust in that's bigger than ourselves, we need to acknowledge who he is. We need to acknowledge our God. We need to trust in the God who created us. That's bigger than ourselves. And when we truly trust in him and we truly surrender, die to ourselves, that is a process that adversity creates in our heart, because adversity is there for us to learn to trust in God more. That's what we need to learn to do through our adversity. We talked about last week, I had to give Diane some slides. We talked about our obedience leading to faith, but we see faith, and faith is what we believe in. Faith is what we have that's way up the steps. Faith is, I have faith. And then we hear people say this, I'm a Baptist faith, I'm a Methodist faith, I'm a Catholic faith. But what is your faith in God? If we never learn through our adversity to trust the God who created us, and that all Romans chapter 8 tells us this, that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. There's the key, that for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. The first thing we got to do when we face adversity is say, God, what is your purpose in this trial? But the only way to get up those steps to faith, it can't be skipped. We can't skip steps. It starts with obedience. Obedience is where we start and we get to faith. And when we follow the correct steps and we learn to trust God more and more and more, you know what starts happening? Then we start giving him the praise he deserves. Then we start talking about him more. We start talking about him to our friends. We start talking about him to our family, because he has led me up these steps and I've learned to believe in something bigger than myself, and his name is Jesus. He sent his only son. His name is God. And we've learned to trust in him, and that leads us to a resurrected life. And that's the final slide on that, the resurrection. But it's all of these things are a process, and accepting the adversity that we face. And everybody look around in this room. You're looking at people. Every person in here has faced some kind of adversity. Your adversity is different from your neighbor's adversity. You've been through some things, and I've talked to some of you at times in this place, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I ain't had to walk through that. But what we have to do as a church family is love each other through the process. They need you. We need each other. And that's why the Lord told us to walk in unity. Let us be bound together with cords that can't be broken. And let us encourage each other. He even says in Scripture that we are to love each other in all of that life's trials and help each other through the challenges. But accepting adversity is the narrow pathway to becoming an overcomer when we truly trust in Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 12 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Have you ever thought about the things you're going through in your life as a Christian is for the furtherance of the gospel? What is the gospel? It's the good news. So all the adversity, when we overcome, we learn to that adversity that I've been through, if I truly trust in God and my friends and my family see me go through that and trust God and give him the praise he deserves, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. He goes on in verse 13. He says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Hang on right here. Why do we preach Christ? Why do we share Christ? You know, a lot of people in the evangelical community in America, we get our religious mind, and we think we know something that everybody else or a person that we know needs to walk the way I'm thinking. God don't give you revelation for your friends and neighbors. God gives you revelation for you. God gives you revelation for you. Boy, so-and-so needed to hear that message. If they're not here, it's meant for you. And maybe that message God wants you to hear would be to take that to them in the love of Christ. Jesus never took what God's purpose was for his life and beat people over the head with it. So at what point do we think we have a right to take God's word and beat people over the head with it? That's why people don't want nothing to do with the faith. What do we believe in? When it starts becoming about Jesus, when we're truly walking in the fullness of what God is wanting us to walk in, I'm telling you, friend, there'll be words of affirmation, words of peace, words of comfort, words of hope that will proceed out of our mouth. In fact, the scripture tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. And for my gospel to be that, to try to tell somebody that we have more authority than they do, man, we deceive our own selves, okay? But let's go on here in verse 15. He said, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So Paul is talking about rejoicing, and he's in chains. When Paul wrote this right here, he was in prison. Hello, that's some adversity we don't want to think about. And he's in prison for the gospel because he's been sharing the gospel. So I got to ask you this. Some of us think this. Why am I where I am? You ever had that question? Why am I here? Why am I going through this? If you're walking in obedience, I want you to know that your resurrection is coming. You stay faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You stay obedient to his purpose. You may feel like your faith is a long way up them steps, but you stay obedient to what God is calling you to, and God will bring you through, because above your faith is your resurrection. Your resurrection is not the afterlife that I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we can walk in the fullness of Jesus now, because he came in John 10:10, he came that we could have life, and not just have life, but have life more abundantly. So everything that we go through, when I learn to trust God in my obedience, is what keeps us moving forward, because I'm telling you, our resurrection is coming. Moving forward in your relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to keep seeking and keep praising him and keep worshiping him. You may not feel like that's what I can't right now. Let me tell you something. You keep giving him praise, because when you give him the praise, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I'll say that again. When you give him the praise he deserves, his blessings come down. You stay faithful to what God is calling you to. Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul wrote this: "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart." The key is that we don't lose heart. The adversity don't define who I am, but I'm going to praise the one that'll bring me through my adversity and bring my resurrection. I don't know why I'm going through what I have to go through, but I know that God will see me through this. Paul had the right attitude toward troubles. He wrote 13 of the New Testament books of the Bible. And Paul didn't start out being the good man or the church man. Paul was a man that was even persecuting the church of God. He told the Roman leaders, "You give me letters and I'll bring back anybody bound. Give me letters to Damascus, and if we find anybody there worshiping this Jesus, we'll bring them back bound." On his way to Damascus, he was struck down by the Lord. Adversity hit. He was blind. And when Jesus came to him, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He didn't ask him, "Why are you going to get poor, pitiful Christians?" Because too many times we think that way, that we're poor, pitiful Christians. Do you know that you're more than an overcomer through Christ who loved you and gave himself for you? You're more than an overcomer. So the adversity that I walk through in this life is meant to bring God glory, not meant to bring me shame. We need to, or the brokenness. And there is a grieving process. These things we go through, that there is a grieving process for that. But Paul had the right attitude. After all, he wrote 13 of these books, and Paul asked him, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" His day of obedience started on the road to Damascus. He had rebelled against God because Paul had a heart to get things done. Amen. And he said, "Don't grow weary," in Galatians 6, 9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart." And Paul had the right attitude toward his troubles. When he wrote to the Corinthians earlier, before Philippians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, he said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Lord have mercy. He's got a sick sense of humor, ain't he? That he's going to take pleasure in his infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that's what we've got to learn, that through my weakness, I can be made strong because of what I trust in. Who I trust in. And that we learn to trust in him. He wrote to take pleasure. How do you take pleasure through adversity? And what does it even mean to take pleasure in it? To take pleasure means to think well. Change our thought process. I'm in this place. Everything is for a season. Amen. It's not, we need to stop looking at our adversity and things we go through and the troubles that we face. We need to stop looking at it that, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do from here?" We take it as a gloom, doom recipe for the rest of our life. But when we learn to trust God in this thing, it means to think well. That means to take pleasure in it. It means to think well, or to have the right attitude. If we could just change our stinking thinking and make it godly thinking. And I want to give you seven areas where Paul thinks well in his adversity. We're going to start in, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, we're going to be in Philippians chapter, let me see where we're going. We're going to be in Philippians 1. And we're going to kind of ride through these scriptures. We're going to just about read the whole chapter of Philippians chapter 1. Number one thing that happens in our adversity is it can promote progress of the gospel in our lives. When people see that we trust Jesus, when people see that I'm trusting in Him through everything that I'm going through, when people see that I trust God in that, who gets the glory? Not ourselves. There was a man back home in South Carolina years ago, and his little boy was riding his tricycle out in the driveway, and daddy come out and got in the truck and was leaving. And he told little man, he said, "You stay up here while I move my truck." He moved the truck and he drove the tricycle behind him. And it was not a good end. Took the little boy's life. But daddy was a strong, devout believer. He never got angry with God over that. It was tough for him to walk through that. But I'm telling you what it did to people around him, that everybody would say, "Adam is trusting Jesus. Adam is trusting Jesus." Man, that I want faith like that. Listen to me, guys. Faith is our obedience. Our obedience produces that kind of faith. I'm going to honor God anyway. Job had the right heart when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Do we have that kind of faith, or does the circumstances we walk through shatter and destroy what God's trying to produce in us? Adversity promotes the progress of the gospel in our lives. Paul didn't want to talk about his adversity, but about his being in prison advanced the gospel. He didn't talk about his prison deal except that it advanced the gospel. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. We're going to look at 12 and 13. He said, "But I want you to know," listen to what he says, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, that it has become evident to the whole palace guard." I want you to capture that in your mind, the whole palace guard, "and to tell the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Why do we walk in fear of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because we don't know enough of it? Because we don't know what we feel like? We don't have to be biblical scholars to share the hope of Jesus. We have to have went through something and been an overcomer, because he was working in our life and we trusted him in that. There's your testimony, not how much scripture we know. The religious people that crucified Jesus could quote you the Bible chapter and verse, but they didn't believe in the King of Glory. They didn't have faith in him. Paul didn't talk about his adversity, but what it could, or about his imprisonment, but how it could advance the gospel message. The second thing we can do is give opportunity. Adversity gives us opportunity for witnessing. Guards who were assigned to prisoners by Caesar were chained to their prisoners. Paul was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. That's four shifts a day for 2 years. So Paul had nearly 3,000 opportunities to witness to Roman soldiers while he was in chains. So he used that opportunity to share the gospel. And we're going to jump to that down when we come to the fourth point. But number three is adversity produces courage in other believers. Watch here in verse 14. Jump up here. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. When Adam ran over his little boy on the tricycle, his faith in God and God getting he and his family through it. In fact, it's like it made them much stronger through their loss. And it wasn't a long grieving process, but everybody talked about how they trusted Jesus through that. Yeah, but a little boy lost his life. Listen, guys, it's what we trust in. When you're trusting in Jesus, it starts blessing other people. Watch here. The fourth thing that adversity does is proves the character of our friendships. Watch here in verse 15 through 18. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. So Paul stayed positive through his adversity for God's purpose in his life. Adversity produces courage to other believers. You can see that back up there, and we're going to jump around a little bit, but I'm driving, y'all ride with me. Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become, in verse 14, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We need to understand that it's sharing that gospel, the good things that God has done in our life, when God blesses us in those things, that we begin to be stronger and people see who God is in us. Watch the fifth thing adversity does is bring growth in our lives. Watch here in verse 19 through 20. He said, For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether by life or by death, Paul was willing to walk in that adversity for God's purpose. For his friendships. People who preach with envy and strife are trying to create followers of themselves. But Paul's aim was to create followers of Christ. Listen, friend, when we learn to trust Jesus, when Jesus is our goal and our focus, nothing else matters. If friends don't want to be friends with you because you trust Jesus that much, it's okay. You've got the best friend you could ever have is Jesus. The fifth thing about adversity brings growth in our lives. Watch here in verse 19 and 20. He said, For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For us to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Watch what he says in verse, the seventh thing about adversity. It allows us to see true life in death being put in perspective, to learn to die to myself. That's the hardest thing we can ever we have to do. But Paul even wrote this to us, that I die daily. And how do I die daily? It's through the things I go through that they don't define me, but I'm going to keep trusting in Jesus through all of this. Life gives us opportunity to serve the Lord more fully. Death offers us the blessing dying to ourselves. It offers us the blessing of finally and completely entering into the rest that Jesus intends for us to live in our life here and until it's over. Only if we walk in true surrender and obedience. Watch here in verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for more labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with all for this progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus by my coming to you again." He says this in verse 27. He says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." It's the adversity that we go through don't need to create a bad attitude in us. But our conduct needs to be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversary, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that is from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. We don't want to think of that one, that I have to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. Paul was a man that knew what it was to suffer, and if we could learn anything from anybody, and if somebody could learn anything from you and from me, is that the suffering that we go through in this life, that we're found faithful to God, giving him the glory that he deserves, because we are more than overcomers, we're more than conquerors when we truly surrender to Jesus and trust in him. And when we truly surrender to Jesus and trust in him, then people around you start seeing, yeah, they see what you're going through, but that more than they see what you're going through, they see who you're trusting in. And if anyone needs to be given the glory by what we do, by not what we say, it's not a fashion statement that we wear, but it's a life of learning to live, to surrender to Jesus. Watch here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to ask Jared and them to come on. In Philippians 3:17, he said, "Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk." What he's saying is, pay attention to the ones that walk through the adversity and they give their Creator the praise that he deserves. He says, "As you have a pattern for us." Verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven." That's why I have to keep walking them steps to faith. I have to keep walking in obedience to faith, because when I reach faith and my faith is full and my trust is in God, I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing we can do. And it may not be that it's not that we always It's not about the scripture, but it's about the overcoming, and it's who brought you through your trial. It's the trust in Jesus that we learn to have. He said in verse 20, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue in all things to himself." Do you know that everything that you go through, God is wanting to build his purpose in you for his kingdom? You are a kingdom person when you truly live a life sold out to Jesus. Our adversity, I want to say this to you today, our adversity is not bigger than your God. Whatever you're walking through, the troubles that you walk through in this earth is not bigger than the God who created you to bring glory to his kingdom. Because it's not about the buildings on the side of the road. It's not about our Baptist faith. It's not about our Methodist faith. It's not about a Catholic faith. It's about the faith in the Creator that loved you and gave his Son so that you could have a more abundant life here now. Y'all stand with me. Adversity hurts. Adversity can cut like going to the bone. Adversity can even at times cripple us. We feel that we have, leave us hopeless. What are you going through right now? What are you trusting in right now? My challenge to you today is, if you look around this room, many people are in this place right now are going through something, and I'm going to guarantee everybody in here knows somebody that's going through something. It is not for your destruction. Adversity is never for your destruction when you trust Jesus. And then I watch people that don't know Jesus walk through adversity, and they turn to pills, alcohol, and they go down a road of destruction. But this is what I love about John 10:10, and what I love about my Savior. He came to give us life, and he came to give us life more abundantly. Trust in Jesus today. No matter where you are, no matter what you're walking through, you have a Savior that loves you. This is what I love about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. The gift has already been given. Life is there for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But sometimes the adversity we walk through makes us feel condemned. We feel like we got to straighten things out before we can turn to God. I got to get this fixed in my life. If you could fix the things in your life, you wouldn't need a Savior. And this is why I love John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that there's a God that created you. He knew who you were before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you, and he cares about you, and he cares about where you are, and he cares about what you're going through. I've got to ask you, are you ready to get up and walk out of your adversity? Because on the other side of your adversity is a resurrected life. Easter Sunday's coming, and we don't have to wait till Easter Sunday. The resurrection is now. While Jesus lay in a tomb, in a borrowed grave, and I say a borrowed grave because he wasn't going to be there forever. For 3 days, he was robbing Satan of all the power he had to hold you down. You are not defeated. You are not defeated. Will you come to him? Lord, today I just ask you for your strength in every person in this room. I pray, God, for a hope to be alive in somebody's heart today. God, I pray for the perseverance to shake our soul, that I don't have to be where I am because I'm going to trust my Jesus. I'm going to trust the one that loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to follow you to the fullness. I'm going to follow you because I need life. God, I pray your blessing over this place today, over every heart in this room. Draw us near to you, God, as we draw near to you. Draw us closer to you, God, as we draw closer to you. Strengthen us by your word. Strengthen us by your might. Help us walk in the Spirit and have the power to be more than conquerors that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name.